Blog Talk Radio.
Royalty, royalty. Powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Whooping she's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. That you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty, yeah.
Once we weren't the people, now we are the people. Do you know who you are? Let them call you those things if you knew you were a queen. And my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king? Well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you, but they don't really tell us what we do need to know. 1 Peter 2 and 6, a blessing for sure. So power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. Say that you were called out of the
dark
into the marvelous
light.
Do you know who you are?
Royalty.
Once we weren't the people,
mercy made us the people.
Now we are the people.
Yahweh Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'ratzavanu v'shabbat kodesh kol v'yahavu u'rotzon hin kilanu. Zikaron le'maseh bereshit kehu yom tekiloh le'mikroeh kodesh zeyekir litziot mitzrayim kevan uvakar. Ve'atanu kidoshto mekohamim ve'shabbat kodesh kol ve'ahavo uvroson hin kaltanu baruch atah Yahweh Mekadesh HaShabbat Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our Elohim, King of the universe, who made us holy with his commandments and favored us and gave us his holy Shabbat in love and favor to be our heritage. As a reminder of the creation, it is the foremost day of the holy festival, marking the exodus from Egypt. From out of all the nations, you chose us and made us holy. And you gave us your holy Shabbat in love and favor as our heritage. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. This is your brother, Ahabal, and welcome to another Friday night session of Kol Elohim. And tonight's show is titled, Study to Show Thyself Approved Unto Yahweh. And I want to apologize for not having a show last week, family. Been a trying couple of weeks for me at work, and last week when I came home, I was exhausted, actually. I'm very tired this evening, but I was able to, I put in so many hours this week, I did like a week of doubles, working overnight, sometimes into the afternoon, and just was very tired. So, calling tonight, I'm going through with the lesson for tonight so that way, doing it early, so that way I won't let fatigue get the best of me. I'll be able to do a show, and I had a lesson, you know, planned out, and hopefully, you know, through Yahweh's spirit and Yahweh's grace, we will be able to gather a little something from it. So tonight's lesson, titled, the proof that we are forgiven is that he has given us his son. And we're going to try to connect some scriptures from the book of Isaiah to show that Yahushua is the Messiah of Israel, of Yah. I love the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is one of my favorite books. This book is a book that has many prophecies and many quotes that Yahushua himself actually made. Many of the quotes that he made came from the book of Isaiah. And not just that, but he also read from the book of Isaiah, which should be an indication to us as studiers of this word and believers in Yahushua and believers in the Torah, that if he read from it and he made a statement about it, it must truly be significant, because why else would he do it? You know, nothing in his life, nothing in our lives happens by coincidence, and definitely nothing that he said was just vain words, and nothing that he did or took place within his life was by happenstance. Everything that happened in his life from his birth unto his death was prophetic. Nothing else. Oh, family, got an emergency going on here. My apologies, family, for the interruption. Have an emergency situation going on. But I'm going to continue with the show, provided that it is Yahweh's will. So one of the things that I wanted to read from tonight, family, and again, I apologize for the interruption. I wanted to read from the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, which actually a couple of weeks ago was the portion that I was supposed to teach on in our congregation. But Yahweh's Spirit actually led me to actually teach on something else that was heavy on my heart, you know, about Israel and the relationship that Yahweh has with Israel. It truly is a relationship similar to that of a husband and a wife, or that of an intimate relationship, period. You know, that is the whole purpose of us even having marital relationships, is to show aspects of Yahweh's relationship with the nation of Israel. He gave it for that specific purpose. And again, Sam, my apologies. I have an emergency situation that I must deal with. My deepest and sincerest apologies, family. My deepest and sincerest apologies for all the dead ear. You know, try to edit it out. You know, I don't know who this dude Murphy was, but when they say anything that can go wrong, will go wrong, when you're trying to do something right, that's the truth. But anyway, I'm not going to be deterred. I'm going to proceed with tonight's lesson. So we were talking about the book of Isaiah and the fact that Yahushua, the connection between Yahushua and the book of Isaiah, and I mean, to really get really deep into it, it would, you know, you would have to really do an exhaustive study. But I just wanted to touch a few points that from the book of Isaiah that, you know, that Yahushua directly quoted from, and also. What they mean, and how is it that, you know, people who carry around the scriptures miss these things? You know, it just amazes me every time. You know, I get into different conversations during the week, and, you know, one of the things I can say with assurity is that our way of belief, as knowledge increases, as we increase and as we grow as people who are reawakening to who we are, who are awakening to who we are, who are starting to get that connection again with the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, that the more we connect, the more Hasatan is going to fight, the more he's going to push, the more he's going to try to put a monkey wrench in every opportunity that he has. He's going to put a monkey wrench in it. But one of the things that we have to do is always persevere, always continue, and always be steadfast in what it is that we are trying to do for our Heavenly Father. You know? So without wasting any more time or taking up any more time, I want to get to some scripture reading. The first reading is going to be from the book of Luke. And this is one of the passages that I really like, because this is almost like Yahushua's official coming out and declaration of who he is and what it is that, you know, once he did that, what people will do it. And it's just, to me, it's just a small taste of what we can expect as believers as we start to uphold and as we start to bring forth the knowledge of Yahweh and the knowledge of who we are as his elect in the earth. So let's start with Luke 4th chapter 16 verse. And it says, the writer says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Shabbat day and stood up for to read." So for everybody who carries this Bible, the question they must ask when they come across this verse, which I know they don't ask, especially if they continue in the walk that they're in, if it is not connected to the ways of Yahweh, how is it the person that you worship, how is it the person, the Bible that you carry states this, but you yourself do not do it? It says, and he came to Nazareth when he had been brought up, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Shabbat day and stood up for to read. This, now I want to look at the word here for custom. And this isn't what the lesson is about, but bear with me since at this point Hasatan tried to throw his monkey wrench in it. And the word is etho. Etho in the Greek section of your concordance. And as a reminder, please, whenever you dial in, make sure that you have your Bible and, you know, your Strong's concordance and whatever study materials that you have at your disposal in order to check behind whatever information that, you know, that we're bringing forth, so that you have proof for yourself, you know. And it's a primary verb. The word is etho, a primary verb to be used to by habit or conventionality. And it's neuter, perfect participle, usage, be custom, manner, want. That means this was something that he did on the regular. This was something, just like the word custom says, it was his custom. Like you say, this is a custom in our country. This is a staple. This is a part of what we do. This is a part of our lives. You know, when you say that this is part of our custom, now that's exactly what it means. This is something that we do. Think about it. I am accustomed to it, you know, to put it in an active sense. You know, a custom is something that a person or a group of people do on a regular basis as part of their lifestyle. So this is what this is exactly saying about this person, this person, Yahushua HaMashiach, that the world knows by another erroneous name, and some believers choose to use, that this was his custom. This was something that he did as a part of his lifestyle. He went into the place of worship on the Sabbath day. Okay? Now back to Luke 4:17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet. Now it says here, if you're reading the King James Version, Esaias, but that is supposed to be the prophet Isaiah. It is an erroneous translation of his name. They tried to take, you know, just like with everything else, and my brother had a teaching on Hellenization. This is the proof of Hellenization right here. They took the prophet Isaiah, which, truth be told, his name isn't even truly Isaiah. His name was Yeshayahu or Yeshaya. That truly was the prophet's name. But of course, you know, we've got to put our mark on everything. Our subjugators have to put their mark on everything and try to make it as though. But his name was not Isaiah. So just in case you don't know exactly what this name is, it is supposed to be the prophet that we commonly know as Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of Yahweh. And he closed the book. He read that one chapter, and bam, closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, once he realized they were all looking at him, you know, kind of like dumbfounded, like, wait a minute, what did he just do? And he said to them, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ear. So he's saying at this point, you are seeing, you are blessed enough in your life to see the fulfillment of prophecy. And one of the things that you will notice as you read through the book of Isaiah, one of the things that Yahweh has used Isaiah to always bring about is who he was. As Isaiah was a prophet who tried with every breath of his mouth with every prophetic word that he spoke, it was to establish who the God of Israel is. It's like when you read that book, Yahweh is using Isaiah to proclaim himself through the book of Isaiah. That's why I love that book so much. It's almost like, and he can do this, it's Yahweh's book of boasting. It's Yahweh's book of reminding Israel who he is, because Israel had been so far removed from their relationship with Yahweh, he had to come back and break some things down for them, to the point of saying, look, I am the beginning. I am the one who formed the foundations of this universe. I am the one who called your father Abraham out. I am the one who changed Jacob's name to Israel. It is me. It is me. And at one point he even says in the scriptures, I am he. You know, Israel had fallen so far away from Yahweh and that way of life at this point that it was their condition was similar to that as when they were enslaved in Egypt. It was a similar condition. So it's almost like, but there was some knowledge there of a past relationship with Yahweh that they had to be reminded of. It's not like the same condition that when they were in Egypt now, where this knowledge was totally stripped from them. They had lost their knowledge of their way of life, their religion, their culture, and who their God was. He was a myth to them, similar to the circumstances that we see right out here today. The people, the chosen people, the bloodline descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are being shot dead in the street every day. The scriptures say his people perish because of lack of knowledge. Because of lack of knowledge, his people perish. And because they don't know who they are, every day they're being slaughtered in the street. This is no different, family. You can take the situation that this community is in right now, have a view into the past of how things were back then. All you have to do is take away a lot of the modern technology. Take away the guns. We were killing each other with knives. You know, the powers that be slaughtered us. The powers that be created conditions around us to keep us in a mental form of slavery. And I mean to the point that even the ones who think they made it truly haven't made it. Because until they gain the knowledge of self, until they gain the knowledge of who they are, they're still enslaved. Those shackles on their feet, but they're still not free. Because the true freedom is the knowledge and awareness of who you are when you come into the knowledge and awareness that you are part of Yahweh's family. You are part of Yahweh's chosen. That you come from a lineage of people that had a relationship with the one and only power. But he had to remind us of that. You know, and Yahweh's word is so true in that he, through his son, has fulfilled his promise of forgiveness to Israel. So now I want to read from the book of Isaiah. And we're going to read from Isaiah, the 40th chapter, 40 and verse 1. And he starts off by saying, comfort ye my people, saith your Elohim. Speak ye comfortably to Yerushalayim, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. And it makes me think about a situation with Yahushua in the scriptures. And as a matter of fact, let's read it. Let's read it. Let's read this situation. You know, one of the things, and when we look at this word pardon, let's take a look at this word pardon really quick first, family, so that we can get a little emphasis on what he's saying, okay? Because he's telling the people now, because think about it. The only time you need to be comforted, why would he say, comfort ye, my people, comfort ye, my people? And, you know, let's look at this word for comfort first, and what he's actually saying, because he repeats it twice. And anytime Yahweh repeats something twice, it's not by happenstance, right? And the word in the Hebrew section is, the number is 5160, and the word is nakam. and it is a primitive root properly to sigh, that is breathe strongly, by implication to be sorry, that is in a favorable sense to pity, console, reflectively, rue, or unfavorably to avenge oneself, comfort self, ease oneself, repent, repenter, repenting, or repent yourself, right? So Yahweh is saying, let the people know, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. That's what he's trying to tell the people right now. This is what Yahweh is actually saying to the people of Israel. Let them know, I am sorry. I apologize. Okay? That's what he's saying to Israel. Think about it. And how wonderful and how merciful and how forgiving our Heavenly Father is. That despite the fact that we have done him so wrong for centuries, that he still has the humility to say, I'm sorry, Israel. And I'm sorry. And let's see for what. What is Yahweh saying, I apologize to you for? I'm repenting of my actions for. Comfort ye, my people, saith your Elohim. Speak ye comfortably to Yerushalayim. And when he says speak ye comfortably, he's saying speak from the heart. The word there is Hebrew 38:20, and the word is lead, form of, says 38:24. Right? Lebab, the heart, as the most interior organ, used also like 38:20. Bethink themselves, breast, comfortably, courage, tender, tender-hearted, faint-hearted. So he's saying, oh, Yahweh, sorry, family. Speak ye comfortably. Speak from the heart to my people. Let my people know I'm speaking to you from my heart. And I'm saying to you, I'm sorry. I apologize. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. And let's look at this word pardon, family. Because we want to know and understand right here. And the word is ratzah. It's Hebrew 75:21. The word is ratzah. And it's a primitive root to be pleased with, specifically to satisfy a debt, be accepted, be acceptable, accomplish, set affection, approve, consent with delight, delight self, enjoy, have favor, or have a favorable situation, like, observe, pardon, be, have, take, pleasure, reconcile self, right? So Yahweh is saying at that point, I want us to be reconciled. We done had a falling out. But what I'm saying now to you, Yisrael, is I'm sorry for what I had to do. I'm sorry for the actions that I took. And I'm speaking to you right now from the heart saying, I want to make things right with us. I want us to get back together again. I want us to be in unity again. Again, 42. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of Yahweh's hand double for all her sins. So Yahweh is saying, I'm sorry for having to have been doubly hard on you. I'm sorry for having to punish you with a fierce punishment. I'm sorry to have treated you the way that I treated you. This is what Yahweh is saying. Our Heavenly Father, who has done no wrong to us, but yet took every action, took against Israel, that we forced his hand, he is still humble enough to say to us, I apologize. But yet and still you have people out there who want to call our God a tyrant because they have no relationship with him. They want to say all these evil and abominable things about Almighty One. But you know what? We're going to read further. And for all of those scoffers and for all of those naysayers, Yahweh says what he is going to do to them in our sight so we can see. And he is speaking specifically to the people of the house of Yahweh so that we can know of a surety that the God that we serve, the power that we call upon, despite the struggles, despite the things, the different situations that we go through, the pains that we suffer when we hear the abominable things that they say about our mighty one, that don't worry, one day I'm going to set it all straight. I'm going to shut all their mouths. I'm going to take vengeance for myself. Back to 42. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of Yahweh's hand double for all her sins. 43. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. I want to read this situation that Yahushua was in. One second, family. Let's find this verse. And this makes me think about Yisrael right here. Matthew 9:1. We're going to read, I want to read this same scenario from each, because it's mentioned in each one of the Gospels, or at least three of the Gospels is mentioned in. I believe it's in all four, but in each one, and each one of them gives a little detail every time about this particular situation that Yahushua was in, right? And it says, Matthew 9:1, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Yahushua, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Yahushua, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw, they marveled and glorified Elohim, which had given such power unto men. And what made me think about this particular situation was the fact that in the book of Isaiah that we're reading right now, that is what actually Yahweh was saying, that, you know, I forgive you. And because I forgive you, now you will have the power to rise up and walk. Now that I have forgiven you. See, because the situation is, as a people, we have the palsy. We are crippled as a people. We are unable to stand and unable to walk without him. But once he has forgiven us, once he has pardoned us of our sins, that's when we have the ability now to rise up and walk. But it takes a particular thing in order for this to happen. And that's why I want to read it from some of the other other apostles. I'm going to read from Mark now. All right? We're going to start at Mark 2:1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Yahushua saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but Elohim only? And immediately when Yahushua perceived in his spirit that they were so reasonable within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy own house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth unto them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified Elohim, saying, we never saw it in this fashion. You see, so what you're going to encounter as you start to show forth the power and the strength that you have within the word of Yahweh and his son Yahushua, and you are able now to perform these miracles, and don't think of them as literal miracles in the sense of healing the sick, but not to say that that's impossible. But don't just look at it from that sense. Look at it from the sense of every time that a new person is enlightened and is brought into the knowledge of Yahushua HaMashiach and Yahweh, the Elohim, and his instructions and his through his Torah, through the prophets, and through his writings. And they now accept Yahushua as their personal Savior. And as they start now to walk in the ways of Torah, you as an individual have just utilized this same power. One of the things that he has said in the book of Jeremiah that, and I want to get a direct quote, so let me get it. But before I do that, let me finish reading. So I want to read it also. I believe that was it. It was just in, I want to read it also in the book of Luke. Let's read it in the book of Luke. It's not in the book of John. It's in the book of Luke, though. Okay. All right. We're going to start at Luke 5:17. And it came to pass, on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of Yahweh was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him, talking about Yahushua. And when they could not find by that way, what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tilling, with his couch into the midst before Yahushua. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man which speaketh blasphemes? Who can forgive sins but Elohim alone? But when Yahushua perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? Sometimes it's just a simple word. You know, when we think about when he starts off in the book of Isaiah in the 40th chapter with comfort ye, my people, he's saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, and the scenario is similar here. He doesn't want to just tell the man, look, get up and walk. He don't just want to just throw the miracle out there without any heartfelt sentiment behind it. He wants this man to know, for whatever reason you have been in this condition for all your life. And one of the scriptures, I believe one of the scenarios in the scriptures talks about when they ask, well, why was this man lame? Why did this man have this affliction? You know, they all wondered within themselves, was it because of a sin that his mother committed? Was it a sin that someone committed in his life? You know, whose sin is he being punished for? Because that was the reasoning back then. See, they understood that certain things happen to you because Yahweh's word is true. And he said, visiting the sins of the fathers unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. So they knew that their situation, their affliction, because Israel, when Yahweh was among them, there was no sickness, there was no illness, there was no disease. The only time these things ever came about amongst Israel was when Israel was caught up in sin. That's why the priests were always sent to investigate a situation that was taking place among Israel. Whether you had a brick that was moldy in your house, whether you had some type of affliction on your skin, they knew that that was a spiritual condition that was being manifested through a physical situation. They knew and they understood this. So that's why that question was asked that time when there was a man that was afflicted, and they wanted to know whose sin was he paying for. So this is why Yahushua started off with, in this scenario, with the first statement was, your sins are forgiven. And when he says it's easier, it doesn't mean that he just wanted to take the quick and easy path, but he wanted him to know, he wanted his soul to be comforted. He didn't just want this man to receive the ability to walk and not know that he didn't want to just make this a quote-unquote a showcase for his power. He wanted it to be an opportunity to for people to see that what he was here to do was to comfort and heal the brokenhearted and to bind up their wounds and to give the people hope. That was one of the purposes for him coming at that time that he came among Israel, to give them that hope, to make sure that they understood that Yahweh was faithful to fulfill his promise of sending his son. You know, one of the things that he said is that the healthy don't need a doctor. So he went to the sick. And look at the faith that this man had. We see in the same situation, the same scenario, three different illustrations of the story, of each one giving a little bit more example of the effort that this man and his friends made to make sure he got in front of Yahushua so that he could receive the miracle, so that he could receive the blessing, so that his sins could be forgiven. And the thing about it is, I'm sure he didn't went in there. I'm sure he didn't go in there with the intent to ask for forgiveness. He probably went in there with the intent to just be healed. But Yahushua, wanting him to know that, yeah, I'm healing you, but healing you is just the sidebar, if you will. The real thing you need to know is that your sins have been forgiven for whatever actions you have taken, or for whatever reason you are in this condition, you are now pardoned. You are now released of it. Back to Luke 24. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying Elohim. Glorifying Elohim for two reasons. One, because he's experienced something that he never had. I believe one of the scriptures said that he was like that since he was four. You know, so he probably not a modern disease, but a disease that used to afflict people. When you think about somebody like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who at one point had healthy legs, ended up contracting polio and couldn't walk anymore. It's probably something similar to that. You know, that used to afflict children, used to afflict people when they were young children. So imagine up to a certain point in your life, you could walk, you could run, you are active just like anybody else, but then you're stricken with some type of disease, especially when you think about a child at 3 and 4. That's, you know, one of the most active parts of your life when you're running around. I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. So I know that all they want to do from the time they get to walk, the first thing they start doing is try to run. That's the first thing a child tries to do. As soon as they know they can take 1-2 steps without falling over, they immediately want to go run. So now he's been afflicted since the age of 4 with this palsy. He would have glorified Yahweh alone if he had just healed. But then not only that, he's glorified Yahweh because, one, he can walk now, and two, Yahweh said his sins are forgiven. And I think that was the point he really wanted to drive home that the Pharisees didn't get, that he came to pardon iniquity for those who truly have faith in him. He wanted to pardon he wanted to let them know that your sins are forgiven. I'm not holding the past against you anymore. I'm not bringing up your past circumstances. I'm looking at you from the faith that you have in me now. And I'm giving you a new opportunity at life to experience things that you weren't able to experience before. Isn't that what he has done with every one of us? Who call upon the name of Yahweh? Who breathe the name of Yahushua out of our mouth? As much as we may have had before meeting Yahweh and Yahushua, I'm quite sure none of that compares to the relationship that we have now. If you have been one who is diligent in continuing your relationship with him, what would any one of us that have tasted the goodness of Yahweh at this point, what would any one of us trade as far as physical possessions are concerned for what we have now? And many of us in the past had great possessions, probably had great career paths that we were on. But we made a diversion for the sake of following after Yahushua so that we can prosper spiritually as opposed to physically in this life, store up treasures in this life that would only rust and eventually be destroyed. See, the treasures that we're storing up now are treasures that cannot be destroyed. Let's go back, family, to the book of Isaiah, in the 40th chapter. You know, I didn't finish reading the scenario that had taken place with Yahushua back in the book of Luke. You know, there's a little bit more to the story in Luke 4. Okay, and after he read that, let's go back to 4:20 because, you know, one of the things that we want to see is how they reacted to it. You know, once he led them to, once he read that scripture from which came from the book of Isaiah, going back to 4:21, where he says, "And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at this gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is this not Joseph's son?" Luke 4:23. "And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of," it says here, Eliah, but that is Eliah the prophet, Elijah the prophet, "when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent save Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha." It says Eliseus, but that's the prophet Elisha. He said, "Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath," because now, see, what happens is he convicted them, he pricked their hearts, because he knew their faith. They didn't believe in the words that he had spoken. They looked at him as trash, because that's why they said, "Isn't that Joseph's son?" You know, their familiarity with him breeded disrespect. And they didn't recognize power in the words which he had spoken. So now it drove them to wrath. See, that spirit of Cain came upon them. You know, I heard them say how Cain, I hear there's a myth, a damnable heresy among some of the Israelites that Cain came through the flood. Now, he didn't personally come through the flood. But I can tell you what did come through the flood, that spirit that he had upon him. And what you see right here is that spirit of Cain. That spirit that when you are convicted and when you are in such a fallen state that you don't want to hear the word of Yahweh, that you are driven as opposed to forgiveness, as opposed to being driven to a spirit of humility and contriteness and a spirit of wanting to change, you're driven to a spirit of wrath and railing against the righteousness of Yahweh, against railing against the words of the Most High. So what does it do? And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong, because he fulfilled the word of Yahweh in their hearing. This is the action that they wanted to take against him. They wanted to grab him by all fours. They wanted to grab him by his arms and his legs and throw him on his head. Think Yahweh's going to let that happen? He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. And see, what he was talking about, not just every believer, he was talking specifically about Yahushua. He said it was better that you take a millstone and tie it around your neck and cast yourself into deep waters. Woe be unto them who lay hand upon Yahushua unjustly in ancient times. And woe be unto them that lay hand upon their believers in these times that represent Yahweh. Woe be unto them. He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. He's talking about his anointed. See, Yahushua is the only one that Yah the Father has anointed. Everyone else is anointed of Yahushua. There's only one anointed of Yah, and that is Yahushua. All others are anointed by the spirit of Yahushua. Luke 4:29. He rose up and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. So he escaped because they couldn't touch him. Okay, family, we're going to go back to the book of Isaiah now and finish reading up this chapter. We'll start back from the beginning, where he says, comfort ye my people. Comfort ye my people, saith your Elohim. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of Yahweh's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. And think about that. Everything about Yahushua's life, because these were the words of John the Baptist. So even though it's closely associated with Yahushua, are written in this book of Isaiah. I love this book of Isaiah. Isaiah 44:40-4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of Yahweh hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, Isaiah 46:40-6. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the spirit of Yahweh bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of Elohim shall stand forever. O Zion, 49, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee unto the high mountain, O Yerushalayim, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Stay unto the city of Yehuda, behold your Elohim. Behold, Yahweh Elohim will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom. And he shall gently lead them, lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and melted out the heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in the scale, and hills in the balance? You know what I think about when I read that scripture is how when you think of Mount Everest, which is the highest mountain on earth. Then you think of other mountains like Mount Kilimanjaro, Mount Hood, you know, Mount Rainier, all these different mountains, great mountains on the planet, you know, Mount Fuji, all these great mountains on the planet. Yahweh said, all right, I'm going to measure out this mountain to be this size. I'm going to measure out this mountain to be this size. I'm going to measure out this mountain to be this size. You know, that Yahweh actually took time to say, I'm going to make these mountains at different heights and different lengths. You know, that's what it made me think about. And the hills in the balance directed the spirit of Yahweh, or being his counselor with counselor have taught him. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and shewed to him the way of understanding? Behold, and this is his question to the nations. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. And he's talking about their ways. To whom then will ye liken Elohim? And what likeness will ye compare unto him? And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about their lives. He's talking about their idols, as we will see in 40:19. The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chain. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told to you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? 40:22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall say also, blow unto them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will he liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for he is that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from Yahweh, and my judgment is passed over from my Elohim? He's letting you know, I know what you're doing. You can't hide from me. Isaiah 40:28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting Elohim, Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. See, and that's what made me think about that parable right there. You know, where it says that he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That, well, it wasn't a parable. It was an actual event that took place. It wasn't just a story. But the fact that this man was able now to get his strength renewed by his faith in Yahweh to the point that he got his legs back. You know, one of the things that we have to really know and understand about our Father is, just as we as parents sometimes get angry at our children and we have to take action against them, I know the children, the times that I've had to actually punish my children, that afterwards I feel sorry. I feel sorry. I feel hurt that I had to take the actions that I took to correct them. You know, I can't think of any parent that truly loves their child that takes pleasure in punishing their child. They actually take pleasure in their child being obedient unto them. And it hurts them to feel that they have to take those actions. But the good, but think about how Yahweh illustrates everything in his word about his actions towards us, about his actions towards Yisrael, about the love and the concern that he has for us. You know, family, we are a blessed people. You know, we are forgiven. The fact that we have been called into, you know, called into this way of life should be enough for us to have daily, continual joy in our walk. You know, we shouldn't take that lightly. You know, problems are going to come. You know, I had a whole lot of problems this week. And I'm not going to act like I didn't get weak. I'm not going to act like I didn't faint. I ain't going to act like I didn't get into woe is me mode. Why this got to happen to me mode? Why you ain't there for me, Yahweh mode? But Yahweh let me know. Hey, look, man. You ain't going to be without problems. Think about what my son had to go through. You think you're going to go through any less? And you ain't even really suffering for your proclaiming of me to the nations. You're just going through everyday life that other people go through. You know? The family's not going to be a law lesson tonight. Now, I apologize for the interruption. But I hope, you know, at some point you can get this opportunity to listen to this. I will try to find a way to edit out that dead space that, you know, Yahweh will give you a blessing from this lesson. I hope that everyone has a peaceful Shabbat, and I pray that tomorrow when you get up and you go to service. Oh, and by the way, I had the opportunity to go outside. You know, one of the things during my interruption, to notice a beautiful new moon out there. So I pray that everyone has the opportunity to see that beautiful new moon that's out there. Well, family, pray that everyone has a good night and that Yahweh be with you. Yahweh bless and keep you. And lift his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Shalom, family.